Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
But we all with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. This is an occasion where resolves are compelled with apostle Ephra Emmanuel. As we behold God's word today, we become the true reflection of his word. You will be blessed.
A few secrets in the scripture. I want to also communicate a few mysteries to us in a very short duration of time, and I trust God that we will do warfare with them, even as we trust God for his manifold visitation in the season. It is important that we draw out essence from the patterns that are captured in creation. I love the book of Genesis particularly because it gives us the opportunity to contemplate on the original essence of things. Before the fall, before departure from the ordinance of God, what was God's mind as regarding man? What was God's ideas as regarding the systems? I found out that God is a God of systems. I found out that God is obsessed about systems. I found out while I was studying some of God's ways that everything God makes, he puts within it the capacity of self-sustenance so that he does not need to do it again. So the Bible says the herb of the field yielding seed. So the seed is what would empower that result again. God will never have to say, let the earth bring forth herb ever again. The seed that is inside it is the system of restoration and continuity. I found out God is a God of systems. I found out everything he makes, he creates a pathway to keep it recreating the result without necessarily needing to intervene. And this is what motivated creating us. Because the moment the physical realm was created, there is need for a custodian. And God was not going to continue to repeat this same cycle over and over again. So he recreated himself. This is why we are gods. That's what the Bible said in Psalm 82 verse 5. It says, I say unto you, ye are gods. In fact, when you check the genealogy and it came down to Adam, the moment they mentioned Adam, they said, Adam, son of God. Meanwhile, they were giving different names of ancestors to different people. When it came to Adam, they can't link him to anybody. They say, your father is God. I'm not talking about the fall. Most times when we talk about man, we want to look from a fallen perspective. Before man fell, who was he? God didn't build any house in the Garden of Eden because man never needed a house. God never put any clothing on him, any fabric on him, because man's clothing was not fabric, it was glory. Now, according to World Health Organization, the three basic needs of man is food, clothing, and shelter. If you go back to the original order, those were never man's challenge. Meanwhile, at the course of your lifetime, it is your responsibility to labor, press into any of these dimensions that you decide that I want to touch these realities before I die. Some people, they will enter divine health until they die. They will be a proof. They are a living proof that divine health is a possibility. When my brother was sharing today about favor, if you understand the technology of creation, God never intends that man will be subservient to all of these challenges that are buffeting him as at the moment. Look at how God did it. God created ecosystems. He made the water, which is a world of his own. He made the land, which is a world of his own. So ecosystems were made. Then he commanded ecosystems to produce their own life. He didn't make the creatures and then start looking for where to keep them. He first arranged their space. Then he commanded the space to bring forth living creatures. He looked at the land. He says, let the earth yield forth. That was where all the cattle came from. That is where all the livestock came from. All the grasses, all the trees. It came by the express command of Elohim. He looked at the waters. He says, let the waters bring forth. When he spoke to the water was so passionate that it brought forth not only for itself, but for the air. Because the inhabitants of the air, their base is the water. Meanwhile, while all ecosystems were busy producing, none of them could produce God. Because God himself is not a product of creativity. If by mistake, as the earth was producing, then man was one of the things that came out with it. You would have said that God became God by mistake. Nothing created him. Deeper. He's calling us deeper. Deeper. He's calling us deeper. Hi, Jesus. Can somebody ask the Holy Ghost, breathe life. Breathe life upon my destiny. He's calling us deeper. Deeper, deeper, deeper. He's calling us deeper. See, it was designed in a way that the strength, the advantages, the true capacity of every creature was activated if they operate in their element. So, since the water produced its own creatures, since the land produced its own inhabitants, if there is a misplacement of order, you will become disadvantaged. So remove a shark from the water, keep it on the land, it will become helpless. No matter how dangerous a predator it was in its own natural element, the moment it is relocated from its element, it becomes helpless. One of man's biggest challenge is a lack of identity. He does not operate from his element. Because although the sharks were created for water, the livestock were created for the land, man's habitat was not neither land nor water. The Bible says it is in him we live, we move, and have our being. So the whole package of salvation was to restore you back into him, because you wandered out of him. So you will see a phrase consistent in the New Testament. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, so return back. This external thing we are doing is making us vulnerable. You cannot operate as a god. Your nature cannot be activated. If a monkey and a shark fix a competition of who is the fastest, and they set the venue for the competition in the water, who will win? Now, if they change the second leg of the competition, they now put it in the land, who will win? So it is not about them. It is about what ecosystem is hosting the competition. If you are outside of God, you are disadvantaged. Even spirits that don't have jurisdiction to lord over you, because you are operating outside your ecosystem, you will be a victim. This is not even my emphasis. I want to show you something quite strategic tonight. See, when man was created, see what God did. He took man and put into the garden that he has made. But the moment he was forming man, he said, let him have dominion. Amen. Satan knows that God has given man control over everything created. So since man was in charge of everything created, if you want to affect everything created, you go for the person who is in charge. When God says dominion, it is in our contemporary context that you believe or understand dominion to mean you will take care of it. Dominion is not take care of something. Meanwhile, when God speaks, the weight of his utterance is not how man understands that. If God say you are blessed, and James tell you you are blessed, God say I will bless you, James say I will bless you, both of them said I will bless you, when James say I will bless you, your mind only conceives that which is within the frame of man. But when God says I will bless you, it transcends anything you can think of. It touches areas of your life you are not even capable of conceiving that you are bankrupting. So when God says dominion, what was he talking about? You will understand it when you look at Genesis chapter 3 from verse 17. In verse 17, the moment man fell, God says, cursed is the land for your sake. So the land did not do anything. The land did not offend God. How comes the land is the victim of this whole fall? A man fell, but they cursed the land. I'm trying to explain what dominion means. It then suggests that there is a very intimate relationship between creation and man. That if man is right, creation will get it right. If man is falling, creation is falling. So what dominion means is that creation and its operations and its ordinance and its success is subservient to whatever man becomes. If man prevails, creation has prevailed. To exercise dominion over creation means creation will have no will to thrive on its own. It is subservient to man's condition. Now you will understand the scripture. The earnest expectation of creature. They are waiting for the manifestation because they groan. They cannot wait for the day the true sons of God will appear, because the day they appear, they too will be restored. I'm trying to go somewhere with everything I'm sharing like this. Is that thing of favor that my brother shared? In Psalm 23, verse 5, the Bible says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Listen. Remember, as it pertains to the manifestation of the Messiah, that although it is God's world, although it is God who owns the world, because the scripture has told us that the earth is the Lord's and its fullness thereof. But now we are beginning to see that there are camps of resistance against the counsel of God that are finding expression within the earth, and that there are agents of rebellion against God's government that have found expression within the earth. So you will see scriptures like, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make not my enemy thine enemy. Satan is not capable of being God's enemy. They have never met. They have never met. He does not know him before you can now say, I don't like him. They can't. You can't keep creator and creature together. The realm of life is too different. So the only thing he can vent his hatred against. This is why in the New Testament, a little expo to us as regarding where the venom of rebellion is channeled. He says, the spirit of the Antichrist. The enemy that Satan is fighting is the Christ of God. Because the Christ of God is the express image of the invincible God.
So this is the one that he can see. This is the one that he can interact with. This is the one he is fighting. So when the Father, who is the unseen God, said unto the Son, sit at my right hand until me, I make your enemy, not my enemy, not our enemy. He said, your enemy, your footstool. That's the current ministry of the Holy Ghost. That's what he's doing. Because Jesus is currently sitting at the right hand of the Father in the heavens, because he ascended bodily. The import of that is that the most holy creature, the most exalted creature in the whole of the universe and the whole of the aeons of existence is man. The highest honors in eternity, the most celebrated creature is man, not even cherubs anymore. The person who sits at the right hand of God is the man, Christ Jesus. So because of Jesus' stature there, they don't expect anything less from you now. Because they know the potential and the inherent capacities are in you to express God's nature. Meanwhile, so that I don't get distracted, the right hand that is being made reference to there has nothing to do with direction or location. So we are not talking about seat by this side. That's not the right hand. If you study kingdom vocabulary, the right hand of a king is an office. It's the person who has capacity to carry out jurisdiction, carry out laws, carry out representation, carry out judgment in a case when the king is undisposed. Why was God looking for a right hand? Why was a new office set? Meanwhile, the day they announced that vacancy, because they said, who is worthy? A book was at the right hand. They said, anybody who is worthy, come and carry the book. They said, no man was found in heaven. The search started from heaven. So Satan, with all of his rebellion and his zeal, they started the search from heaven. He failed the test. None was found in heaven. Then they came to the earth. The high priest was busy burning incense, doing all kinds. His robe was pure white. His hair was dripping oil. When they measured his weight spiritually, all these things, none was found. So they went into the underworld to check old patriarchs, like people like their Noah, their Papa Abraham, to check if anybody had the capacity and credentials to sit at the right hand. Can you represent God to the generations? And they say, none was found. To his kingdom there will be no end. Ide, find me a key I'm comfortable with. Oh Jesus. You know, when you begin to look at the things I'm sharing with you deliberately, you will realize why we worship and why we give honors to God. We're not doing anything out of emotion. It's because he's worthy. He earned it. I showed you the protocol of worship some weeks back, that he started first with conceiving the worthiness of God. Then those were the utterances of the living creatures. Then you now came to the elders. Let me not get distracted. What was I sharing about? Don't worry. We'll connect to the stream anyway. So, please sit down. The moment Jesus was able to accomplish that feat, one of the elders stopped John that was crying, that was in sorrow. He said, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed. When they say prevailed, they are not talking about that he has defeated Satan. They say he is worthy. That's what it is. Because the aptitude test question is, who is worthy? He is worthy. Defeating Satan is only one side of it. The other side is that he has met the worthiness criteria of God. So it means, even in the realm of God, he is worthy. This is why if you grasp the concept of the substitutionary work of Christ, you will be impregnable in your world. Because if you are able to apprehend what was secured and who you now are in Christ, you'll be invincible. So as God begins to give us the opportunity to understand some of the ancient blueprints and the patterns that He had orchestrated from time immemorial, although most of those landmarks have been shifted and bastardized, if we must walk in victory, we will have to dig those parts up again. One of the things we must come into cognizance with is that it is the state of man that affects the state of creation around him. So if God wants to bless you in the light of what I've shared with you, God's blessing is not things. God's blessing is to do something to you, because anything that happened to you can impact on the state of things around you. Now you understand that scripture, Psalm 23 verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the midst of my enemies. Now these enemies that have been spoken about, they are not those who say nobody will rise from your family. Those are not the enemy. The reason why I need to share this with you is so that your eyes should leave men. Men are not your enemy. In fact, the scripture says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So, the enemy they spoke about there, it has nothing to do with the person who says none of your mother's children. That's why you cannot stop jumping from prayer house to prayer house. Oil, you have drank, how many bottles of oil will you drink in this lifetime? I saw a video. Somebody was sleeping like this. He now got up and said, I cancel. That was all he was shouting. Guess what? He had a dream that how can you dream that you saw a rat eating your certificate as you're eating it? As he's eating it, he was almost going to eat your name completely out. And the rat came for the part of your name. So the second class upper is still written there, but the person that went to the school, they were eating the name out. If you know some things in the spirit world, the nature of warfare that is projected at you will change. There is a level of ignorance Satan capitalizes on. A man whose stay is settled on the word of God. I'm not talking cerebral knowledge or cerebral interaction. A person that the word has taken root in. Satan, don't play with them with dreams. He knows that your reality is not defined by what you see. Your faith is built on the word. So whatever he shows you cannot shake you. You are like Mount Zion that cannot be moved. So anything he shows you, whether somebody comes to gossip, he says the righteous is as bold as a lion. The reason why he's like that is because we live by faith and not by sight. So if anything comes and shows you that as you are sleeping, one rat was eating your certificate, who is a rat? For the fact that your identity is a rat, I am the zenith of God's creation. It is better that I was fighting a man in my dream than to fight Ojuju. No matter how many horns the Ojuju have, he is a lesser creature. We are sons of God. This is why when you see a believer that is not warded, he's a victim of unnecessary stress. Today you see him running from pillar to post. Tomorrow you see him trying to stage another drama. Everything he's doing is because Satan is capitalizing on ignorance. Oh, may God bless the labors of men like Kenneth Hagin. They were part of the zenith of the Word of Faith movement. They taught the church to be warded. They taught the church to discover Jesus in the Word before you can discover him in encounters. That you must find him inside the Word. Look for Jesus in the scripture. Till today, in fact, I had the opportunity to be a part of, I attended one session of their conference that just finished in Kaduna. And I saw something different in the audience. Somebody will come up like this and carry a scripture and read that the Bible says, by his stripes we were healed. People will start shouting, yeah! I say, why are they excited? Their response to scripture is different. They have been taught. It is a civilization. Somebody gets up and is doing like this just because they repeated a scripture that you already know. I did not understand what was going on there. It is the labor of faith. This is how the word of faith works. Those kind of people, Satan don't come with a dream that one Ojuju was pursuing you with machete. You were running and sweating in the dream. You woke up, you are still sweating. Somebody wakes up now and say, even till now my leg is paining me. I was sleeping, a dog now bites me, and ever since the dog bites me, that side, there's one pain there. Sir, please, I don't know. This attack, I'm tired. Satan exploiting ignorance. Can you tell yourself, I was made in his image? Say, I am a child of God. Do you know how very, very, very misplaced it sounds for a dog to be your enemy? Just imagine that you are walking this street like this. You now stop halfway and say, get one dog. Let me and him know they agree for up there. Because of a dog. A dog is your enemy. Or there are some set of dogs that now, I don't know how it is possible, but for the sake of illustration, they now say they don't want to ever see you pass this. What is going on? I think we should exalt King Jesus briefly. Come and raise that song for me. You don't know what Jesus secured for you. He secured not only victory, he secured standing. So you are not listen, look at me. See, I know, okay, you know what? Don't worry, sit down. I see that you are easily distracted. Jesus did not only secure victory for us, he secured standing. So after spoiling principalities and making a public show of them, he now made a request to the Father during his coronation service. He says, Father, I desire that where I am, there will my servants be also. I will not operate in any place different from them. So the Bible says we are seated with Christ, not any other location, in where he is now. So the Bible says, as he is, so are we in this world. Because your essence is captured where he is. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above principalities, above powers. We don't operate in the same tangent. You are sleeping, then you know the kind of animals that talk to many people in your dreams. Somebody say they saw a snake, the snake now spoke. Okay, good. We celebrate you that snakes speak in your dreams. Good. Do you know that as much as the attack of Satan is concerned, anything that puts you in a realm where you have lost touch with your identity makes you vulnerable? So we do not look at ourselves from the lens of this world. Our spectacle is the scripture. It is through scripture we look. It is scripture that interprets our sight. Yes, once upon a time we were fallen, we were rebellious, we were disadvantaged, but Jesus has paid the price.
Who the Son sets free, who is free indeed, I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Can you pray for 1 minute wherever you are? I am not a victim. I am not defeated. I am not a prisoner. Now look at me. This is not about cerebral interaction, just knowing it mentally that I am a child of God. I'm a child of God is a nature. It the proof of I'm a child of God is not what you are saying, it's who you are. So demand the proof from your life, not from your mouth. If there is a sickness in your body, God, don't fall sick. Sickness and your nature are foreign. They are way apart. Do you know why? Of course, you were born as flesh and blood. But there is another kind of birth that the technology of the spirit orchestrates, and it is a birth that is engineered from your spirit. So your spirit is reborn, and then the government of your spirit colonizes all the other tripartite nature of your being. So as many as are led now by that spirit, they are now the sons of God, because their spirit has been reborn. This is what Jesus was telling Nicodemus. He says, you must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter. Nicodemus said, should I enter my mother's womb? Jesus was perplexed. How are you a teacher of the law and you don't understand the basic concept of entrance into kingdom realities? Actually, I told us on Friday at Bajipila that Jesus told Nicodemus invariably that you were not born well. That there's a disadvantage that came with this kind of birth. In fact, Jesus made another statement that captures this essence. He says, of all men born of women. So there are men that were born of women, and all of us comes first, our first birth is through women. There has not risen any as great as John. But he says the least, the smallest in kingdom reality is greater than John. Because in this kingdom reality, you are no longer those born of women, you are those born of the spirit. As soon as you are born of the spirit, you are a son of God. And when I say son, it's not gender specific. It is only here that you have all of this gender based reality. There is no female spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying? There is no female spirit. If you can bring gender into the spirit realm, reproduction will be a capacity to explore. There's no female spirit. In fact, for those of you who say, I will love you to eternity, you are a liar. If any boy texts you and say, what I have for you transcends time, it's the first proof that he's a man of a smooth lip, and fear those type. Those ones that by the time they arrange words together, it sounds divine. Let's not get distracted. Let's come back to what we're doing. So it then means that the moment you enter time, there are already creatures, there are already elements, there are already various entities positioned to resist God's agenda first and resist God's vessels. If the agenda of God is not factored into your life, you are not an enemy of Satan. The real thing that he antagonizes is God's agenda. If you live for yourself, Satan will be at peace with you. The moment you begin to take certain kingdom emphasis as the positive factor of your own existence, then Satan is incensed against you. You'll get clearer perspective of this matter in Revelation chapter 12. The Bible says, a great wonder appeared in heaven from verse 1. A woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet. I don't want to go into explaining what it means to be clothed with the sun and then the moon under her feet. It says, she was heavy with a child and she groaned in travail. Then it says, another wonder appeared in heaven. It says, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns. It says, this dragon came and positioned himself in front of the woman, waiting for her to put forth her man child so that he may destroy the child. So the dragon's challenge was not the woman. It was the child that he wants to destroy. He is looking at the woman like this. He didn't touch her. It is the child inside the woman, what she's pregnant with. That is his challenge. If you are not carrying any dimension, any burden, any agenda of God on your inside, Satan has no business fighting you. It is what you are pregnant with that attracts warfare to you. The whole agenda of Satan's attack against your life, you know what you are carrying by the kind of attention you get from Satan. If Satan makes sure you never have a breathing space, that before you even know the difference between good and bad, he had choked you with addiction quickly. There's something. There's a treasure that they are trying to make sure it will never. They are fighting something from entering time. I need somebody to become violent tonight. There is no woman that enters the labor room with makeup and comes out with the makeup. Somewhere along the line, you will lose touch with that, the delicate balance of your eyebrow. You will lose it. You see that eyelash that you fix? Eh? When you come out of the labor room, there's only one that will remain. I know you go around with one small fan. You hold the fan like this always by your face. A season will separate you from that fan. You will look for the fan, you will not see it. And the fan will not be important on that day. Until Zion travails, she brought. You know what it means to bring forth the kingdom of God that is within you? You are giving that kingdom expression now. You brought forth a dimension that was locked up on your inside. Hey! You know what God does? He writes codes like genetic signals and signatures. He writes codes into our soul and hides it there. Then the codes that are hidden in your spiritual component, they begin to give you signals like burdens. One day you sit down in the club like this and something will tell you that, but what are you doing here? It's a code. That one is inherent. No evangelist preached to you. There is something on your inside that is rebelling against the path you have chosen. You will stay like this with your friends. Everybody is living waywardly. But there is an echo, like a hidden application on your inside, reminding you that, I thought we were supposed to do mighty things for the Lord. It's a code on your inside. And that is the enemy that is occasioned to make sure that the will of God and the counsel of God for your life will never see the light of the day. The moment you open your eye into life, there are different layers of warfare positioned to make sure the will of God is lost in your time. As long as you live for yourself, gratifying your pleasures, gratifying your desires, you will never be the enemy of Satan. In fact, Satan can help you to live more in that part. But if your life ever begins to contemplate revealing God to your landscape, you become an enemy immediately. You know what it comes to destroy? What you are carrying. Some people's ministry have been... what that pornography is doing is that it is choking the gift on your inside. Choking it until a time comes. You can't even find it if you close your eye. A time comes, you enter fasting, you can't even pick the signals of Adonai. What they are doing is that they are recalibrating your soul. They are fine-tuning. They are changing the frequency. You who used to pick the echoes of Adonai before, now, even if you are in church, you can't hear his voice because they have retuned you. They've shifted the frequency from 90.9 they put you on another strange frequency. So now, if Satan speak, you can pick the information. Because normally your spirit was wired to pick the frequencies of God. Your spirit is like a transistor radio. They tuned you to be able to pick God. But when you enter time, spirits will enter into a labor to retune you. It's just like you went to bed and you were listening to maybe 90.9 and then FM. Then you went to bed and woke up and saw that it's not in FM again, it's in AM. You know those AM, they are Hausa stations and some strange, all the song there is about Soea and some things. So when you now woke up in the morning, you now started hearing, although you are still picking signals, but something has altered where your signal is coming from. You can now sit in church and you are still tempted. Everything that hits your soul is lost. You cannot overcome by saying no, because the perpetual signals that is hitting your soul is lustful thought. So you must deal with the matter from within, where signals are coming from. I see a lot of people wake up and say, from today, you think you can overpower spiritual warfare by resolution? Who told you from today is your deliverance? When everything your antenna is speaking is about the frequencies of lust, you must be recalibrated. If I show you part of what God does in that scripture, Psalm 23, he says, he restored my soul. So to restore yours, to restore something means to take it back to its original form. Is to retune you, bring you back to the place where the perpetual frequencies you are receiving is the echoes of God. You know what God is doing per time. You know what is his current speaking. You know what is his current body. Some people will cry to the Lord wherever they are this night. Something has tuned me. Something has made me very conscious of lustful desires, of lustful thoughts, of lustful contemplations. Something has made me very conscious of pride, of the cares of this world, of boastfulness, of personal aggrandizement. Set my affections on things above. Soul to a place of genuine hunger for purity. Restore my soul to a place of genuine yearning for your presence. Number two, I need you to devote the next 4 to 5 minutes uninterrupted. The instrumentals will just play and will pray and flog it out with destiny. He says, thou anoint my head. Before that anointing happened, he says, you first made a table before me. And that table was in the presence of this hostility, of this resistance against my rising, of this resistance against the program of God, of this resistance against the narrative of God. He says the enemy's presence notwithstanding, the verdict of wickedness notwithstanding, the curses in the family notwithstanding, the appetite for wickedness in that family notwithstanding, he says there's a way you do it. You anoint the head of men with oil and then it affects everything around them. Thou anoint
something upon me that will reprogram everything around me. Lord, put something upon my head that will reprogram everything around me. Do something to my life. Let it alter the nature of things around me. Thou anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen. It's a week of prophecy. On Sunday, you witnessed the hallowed declaration God has factored into this week. This is why particular teachings like this are coming up. This is why we are taking time to pray. We are taking time to declare. Jesus says, behold, look at the birds of the air, pharaohs. They have no farm, they have no land, they do not till, but your heavenly Father feeds them throughout. Creation was designed to sustain the creatures of God. So this is why God first created space before he created the inhabitants of the space. So everything necessary for your comfort, for your sustenance, for your habitation was perfected before you were created. God never decided or never designed that you will be looking for something. Everything was supposed to be available to you. Do you understand what I'm saying? There is no monkey that has a sea of hope, but he has a house, because the design of God sustained it. No fish is paying rent, but it has a house. I'm showing you that all other lower life forms, none of them have to go through the route man go through. And the reason why man operates like this is because he has been cursed. They say, in your sweat you will eat. And not just eating in your sweat, it says the land will bear for you thorns, and it will not yield you her strength. But we have been redeemed from the curse. So we can no longer be operating in the manner of those who are under curse. This is why knowledge is too important. If not, you can continue to go by the pathway of the curse and still think it is normal. It's not normal. Every day should be loaded with benefits. He says, who daily loads us with benefits. It was this dimension Jesus unveiled when they asked him to bring his payment of tax for Caesar. He says, go to the water, catch a fish, open the mouth of the fish, you will see a coin, remove the coin and come and pay. He knows that creation will attend to all of his need. There is nothing he needs to be frustrated about. Everything he needs is with creation. You must be favored. Everywhere you enter, there must be something that is making. If everything in your life is by sweat, you are still under the curse. Because the curse says, in your sweat you will eat. But the favor of God is different. The favor of God makes that protocols are bent, they are changed, they are violated for your sake. Every nature, every situation, foreign, strange to God's pattern and God's idea, sicknesses in your body, frustration and stagnation, I command those experiences, they are vanquished from your life in the name of Jesus Christ. In this month, listen, and particularly in this week, is a time of recovery. Every hanging prophecy, whether it was spoken 5 years ago, somehow by any means you missed it, somehow it has delayed, somehow you know your eye caught a reality but you did not see it inside your life. You knew that the word of the Lord came unto you, but the season did not come to pass. I need you to set aside 3 minutes and pray in the Holy Ghost. Everything, every reality, every result, every season, every height that I have missed, every season I am due for, I pray as I enter. Listen, listen, it's not only him that is sitting on the throne. It is not only him. The moment you are lifting him up, see what the Bible says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. You are saying the Lamb of God who sits upon the throne, you too will sit on the throne.
I don't know.
Listen. When the children of this world are buffeted by challenges, by restraints, and by all kinds of antagonistic situations, they start looking for help. We, when we are challenged, we stir ourselves up. It is like something. We charge into a nature. Our help is inside, it's not outside. Now somebody shout! You are not small. You are not disadvantaged. You are not helpless. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. See what the scripture says. It says, there is none among them that stirreth up himself to take hold of you. So you want to take hold of the dimensions of God? He says, stir yourself. Charge yourself up. Don't allow moodiness. Don't allow gloominess. Don't allow depression settle on you. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I know who I am. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are many negative patterns that have been broken here. There are things you struggled with, you will never see it in your life again. At the course of the service, while you were celebrating Jesus, while you were rejoicing in His spirit, something fell from your life. Now, the aura of favor is like a perfume. It's a perfume. It is like a fragrance. They have smeared it on you. So, when you are done dressing, there is a last part of your dressing you didn't know of. There is one perfume you wear. People cannot resist you. Favor is attractive. Favor is contagious. Favor is on you. Please help them, ushers, anybody. The hand of God has come upon, please help them. You to catch these things, catch the season, catch the consciousness. The world is waiting for you to emerge.
Bible they read, they will read me and they will be changed.
You are revival.
We are revival. I am revival.
I am revival.
I am revival.
I am revival.
Help that lady. Listen. Revival is not something happening. Revival is anywhere we enter. It can be cold until we enter. This is what GUC apprehended. It says, I am the sound of revival. The world is waiting for me. They are waiting for you too. Your space must be revived. Your family is revived. Your household is revived. Your street is revived. Everywhere the soul of your feet tread is revived.
I am the sound of revival. The world is waiting for me too. I am the Bible they read.
I am the Bible they read.
They will read me and they will read me. I am the revival.
I am the Bible.
Revival.
Revival.
I am revival.
I am revival.
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 We give you glory. We give you praise. Thank you for your agenda that you have funneled into our life. And thank you for your wisdom that is at work in us. Thank you for your agenda. Thank you for the spread of your kingdom that you have given us a stake in. I pray that you continue to empower, strengthen, and embrace us. And bless all of your people. Increase their storehouses. Enlarge and multiply them. Cause for the overflow to begin to find expression upon their storehouses. Let the windows of heaven be opened and let there be an unusual supply of abundance upon their storehouses in the name of Jesus Christ. This week, the hand of the Lord increases you. The hand of the Lord enlarges you. The hand of the Lord prospers you. And He keeps you from falling. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Glory to God. We trust that you have been blessed by God's word today. Well, you can follow us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/anacazomissioninternational.ami or join us on our Telegram channel at anacazomissioninternational. You can also download more of our messages on our Telegram channel. Thank you. Remain blessed.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For enquiries, please call +233 26767 6055. +233 26767 6055. Or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.